Recently, there was this big ceremony as part of the history of Doxadeo, where the founders and leaders of Doxadeo, Alan and Leona Platt, dedicated me and my wife to take full responsibility as the second wave of leadership of the Doxadeo story. We are now entrusted with the leadership of the Doxadeo and the City Changer movement teams, but we also are entrusted to lead the visionary process for this ministry. If I go back 25 years ago, when I joined Alan on his team, he called me just to become a worship pastor in our third campus, at that point in Pretoria known as the North Campus. And about 3 years later, we were at 5 campuses in the city, and the leadership decided to dedicate a campus pastor. It was such a big moment in my life where I had to make a decision. Will I continue to lead in the arts, or will I step into the leadership of that campus and become a church leader? It was difficult at that point for me, but we really sensed that the Lord has called us for leadership. And our journey has developed where we took on more responsibility for one or two other campuses, at first in Zone and later for the city of Pretoria, Tshwane. And today, as it all's developed, we are stepping into this visionary entrusted responsibility. But I would like for a couple of minutes to share a discovery that I've made in the scripture in the book of Peter. And let me remind you, Peter was a little bit of a vicious character when he was still one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus. He was also a close confidant, because sometimes when you see that there were only 3 disciples, Peter was there. But he was very harsh, he was very task-oriented, he was boisterous, and he, you know, sometimes just messed up things in the way that he acted. We could see sometimes that the task was more important than people. So what changed in Peter's life that in 1 Peter 5 verse 1, he would then write the following? He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock." We are convinced that the Holy Spirit changed Peter's heart. And as a leader, I believe, not just as a church leader, but any kind of kingdom leader. If you are a leader and you are following Jesus Christ, in whatever situation or institution you find yourself, listen to the principles of godly leadership in this particular scripture, 1 Peter 5. The first thing that Peter does, he acknowledges that he is an elder among other elders. He immediately states his interdependence with the brotherhood, or you can say the sisterhood if you are not male. So he immediately says that he is a fellow elder. He understands the body of Christ, that nothing about leadership is an individual process. And this has led me in my own journey to always draw people in, similar to what Jesus did. He had the 3, he had the 12, and there was a larger group that followed him. But he drew people in, and Peter testifies, he witnesses that that is the first thing that a godly leader does. Then he says, "Be shepherds of God's flock." This is a very interesting position to take in. That in the first instance, he acknowledges that it is not his own flock. You know, even if you built up your own business, I want to remind you that the people do not belong to you and me. Even if this ministry was built up by Alan and I've built up the current team that I'm leading, I understand they are God's flock. And I come under his shepherding. I become a facilitator of his care, because he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. It's the two elements of caring for people, but also watching over them. It's this principle of quality leadership that has led me to always ask the question, how can I care for you? How can you feel cared for? And how can I nurture you so that you are prospering? But I will also watch over you. I will make sure that you do not miss your calling and you don't miss the potential that is in you. So it is caring, but it is also challenging. Those two elements bring about the best that leadership can be in the kingdom of God. Then Peter says something that really grips my heart. He says, do it willing as God wants you to, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. There's a willingness, there's an internal satisfaction when you are called to lead people that says that I'm doing it and I'm motivated by the internal pleasure that I find in glorifying my God as I'm doing this. Leadership really is an honor. It's a gift from God, and we do it for Him first. Then Peter addresses one of the big problems that leaders face, and that is personal gain, even dishonest gain. Whether that gain is the honor that you receive from people, or maybe financial gain, or maybe power and influence. I think there's something about leadership that's so dangerous. So many big leaders recently have made such high level of mistakes that they faltered as leaders because their hearts have not been pure in this regard. Number one, I'm a steward. People belong to God. This process, this organization is an honor for me to do it willingly and for an internal motivation, not external motivation. Now, obviously, there has to be financial gain. There has to be success. That's not the problem here. The problem is whether that comes and it sits in your own heart and it becomes the motivation of your decisions. Peter says the following, and we think this was one of the things that God changed in his own heart. He says, 1 Peter 5 verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And I think in that last sentence that I want to share with you probably is the foundation of leadership. You see, so many people have this picture that I'm at the top and people are under me or behind me. I believe that this whole thing has to flip around. Jesus did it. He said, I came to serve and not to be served. How do you do that as a leader? As a leader, I am serving God's purpose, God's mission in you. You are not serving me. You're not serving the organization. I am serving God's purpose in you. As a leader, I am serving God's purpose in our organization. It's a bottom-up approach where I say, how can I take you and lift you up to the full potential of where you can be? And obviously, as I do that, I will be more successful. Not lording it over them talks about how I position myself. I'm not the boss. Let me tell you, the lowest level of leadership is when people follow you because they have to. Quality leadership comes under people, builds the kind of relationship and builds the kind of success and purpose and mission and future into somebody so that they follow you because they want to and they understand, obviously, I have authority. Obviously, I have to say no, but it's in the way that I do it that I'm not lording over it. I'm facilitating God's purpose in you. And I want to encourage you today to take this piece of scripture, to look at my own story, look at the story of the Doxodo and the City Changers movement, and understand that the cause has always been bigger than the individual. The cause is always more important. And as an individual, I have to understand my role. Yes, I am the leader of this team, but I understand my role. In the first instance, I report to my creator. In the second instance, a stewardship was entrusted to me. I don't own people. I shepherd them because they belong to him. They are part of God's flock. And then I come and I position myself so that they will gain in the first instance. And what I've discovered is then the fruit of that kind of leadership spills back over into your life for a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment, and also a massive sense of success. May the Lord establish that kind of leader also in you and in your organization through you.